Blog Talk Radio.
That men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His mercy. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His wondrous works toward men. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for His mercy endureth forever. He made the heavens and earth and all that is. Holy name.
Now if we just
for His works toward men. Now if we just
wonderful, and he is true. This is Dr. Cassandra McDonald, pastor of Caring and Sharing Spiritualities Ministry. I am very thankful and hopeful today in serving the Lord. Each week, I've got a testimony. just as a testament of the faithfulness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's teaching and growing us how to serve Him, how to love Him, How to Hear Him. And that is the title of the message for today. Fear Him, Hear Him. Oh, to hear from the Lord. My thing is, I love hearing from Him because it just assures me that He's on it. And regardless of what the circumstances look like, what's going on, and what looks like the outcome possibly could be, when you hear from the Lord, for me, that's all I need to know that He is on it. And I know that He's on it, but it's so reassuring. And that's what I love about God. He knows our weakness and our frailty. And no matter how much evidence He has created, and you'll notice through the Old Testament, He's always saying, you shall know that I am the Lord your God. I am one. He's always continuously proving Himself. And sometimes I feel, Lord, it must ache your heart to always, always have to be proving who you are. We say we love God, and we do. And we say we, you know, want to serve Him, and we do. But then when it comes to the evidence, when situations come, we wonder and we ponder, well, what is God doing now? And that's part of growing and knowing how to trust Him, to wait on Him. He said, wait on the Lord, and He will renew your strength. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He's going to mount you up with wings as an eagle. You shall walk and not be weary. You shall run and not faint. But wait. So the point is, His timing is the perfect timing. But that wait time can be challenging. Why? Because as humans, being as intellectual as we are, we need to know. It's like someone said to me, I'm still going through this sciatic nerve and and the tension, pain of how just it's kind of like Charlie horses that mount up on top and twist and twist. Still happening, better, but still happening. But I feel my body strengthening in general all around because I'm not running around. And I was saying, the Lord's shepherd is the Lord, 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down. I'm like, well, that's what's happening here. And I know historically in my life, He usually makes me to lie down to stop me. So I'm trying to maybe at this point, you know, turn over a new season and have some wisdom and not wait until I'm made to lie down in order for me to have rest. Because food, drink, water, and rest are the things that we're in charge of. And this is a human body that is put together, wonderfully made. And there are things about it, laws that God has put in place that we must observe. And when we don't, things don't turn out so well. But I'm enjoying my restful state. And God is good. And I love His night visits and how He talks to me. And He helps because that pain, you know, it's continuous. And He just talks me through it. And I'm saying, you know, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, you have no right to be in my body. I, through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, command thee to leave. And I keep saying it. And I say, well, it's leaving a little bit by a little bit. Here a little, there a little. But in the meantime, I'm spending time with Him because I have time to spend with Him because I'm not going anywhere. I'm not really mobile as I normally would be. So I'm very thankful in God's tender mercies and His kindness. And that's the part one night He gave me 111. What's that? Where is that in the Bible? When is that? 111. So I just looked up Psalm 111. I said, well, maybe that's what God's referencing for me. And I just kept hearing 111. I'm like, what is that? God is good. I'm looking it up. So it says, praise the Lord, and praise the Lord with a whole heart in the assembly of the right in the congregation. Now, this has exactly 10 verses. The last verse is the 10th verse of Psalm 111. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Standing have all they that do his commandments. His praise endures forever. I want to hum. I think he's trying to tell me something here. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And actually, that's where I kind of based this message from, when it says, fear him and hear him. And that fear is reverencing and believing his word, acknowledging his word, acknowledging him, not trying to fix up what he says, but accepting, hearing what he says. And he said, this is the beginning of wisdom. So our message, fear him and hear him, and that's what I use, was 111 Psalm. And I have it, it's kind of funny, I have it written right here on my one sheeter, and I looked it up, and I'm like, oh, here it is right here. So that's what the message is about. Because that night I kept hearing God say, 111, 111. And he was teaching and training me. Listen to what I'm saying. I know what I'm talking about. And so many times we use the Lord as our excuse. Well, I need to go check this out. At least here's a great sentence we say, so that I'll know what to pray for. Okay, so you need this knowledge so that you'll know what to pray for. That's exactly right, because God already knows what it is. Well, if I don't know what it is, how am I going to pray? You don't need to try to be that powerful. God's that powerful already. We say that he's omniscient, you know, that he has all knowledge, and he's omnipotent, he has all power, and he's omnipresent, and he's everywhere. So what you're praying is for you, not for him. Well, how am I supposed to know how to pray? Just ask God, and he'll tell you. But when we start this exploratory venture, we open up all kind of avenues that lead to fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of the what if, fear of the supposed. I was with my brother once in a very prestigious clinic. So the doctor read his report and came in and said, if you don't have this surgery, you can drop dead at any moment. And I'm like, who says that to somebody? Serious? And he's this famous, blah, blah, blah. So then right behind him came the nurse practitioner, read the same report, and it says that your heart is under, shows these symptoms, because he had taken stress tests, shows these symptoms when it's put under stress. That is not the outcome of how his heart works. It's just when it's put under stress, these potentials come up, blah, blah, blah. Same report. And I'm like, and of course he didn't drop dead and he's not dead. It's like you open up these avenues of fear, and because of their control, they want you to hear ye them, acquiesce to them, when they're not all-knowing. And there's nothing wrong with getting evaluation. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying, but mix some wisdom with it. And that if you're a fearful person and that you stand on the entity of what is said and that's how you rule, then you rule out God. I have a student, an adult student, who he was given 3%, I think it was. He had had cancer, and and none of the treatments were available that could help him, nothing. And so his friends were calling him up and saying, I'm sorry, I hear you're dying. He says, I just don't feel like I'm dying. I feel like there's more for me to do. And the doctor said done all that they could do. He said, I just feel like God has more for me. And that was what came out of his mouth. You know, he used the wisdom of the Lord. He used what God was saying to him in his spirit. And he's alive 20-something years later, cancer-free, has a family now. He says, I would have missed out on all of this. And he's a lawyer, and he's done quite well. I had another friend, probably around the same time. She had some problems with the elbow. She's a violinist. And they went and said, well, you have cancer such and such a stage. You only have so long to live. So she called up all of her friends and said, I'm dying. Just want to say goodbye. And so she died. Your words have so much power. But you have to will to live, and you have to live in the fear and admonition of what God says to you. What does God say about it? And release yourself from these fear facts. They're facts. They're not truth. evidence-based facts, but they're not proven to be true. God said, let every man be a liar and his word be true. He is truth. So let's start to read this. This month we're on, but deliver us. Use this year, the Lord's Prayer, as our scripture base for our thematic prowess this year, which is thy will on earth as it is in heaven in 2017. So we're at the point of the Lord's Prayer where it says, deliver us from evil. So a lot of times the evil that we need to be delivered from is our evil thoughts. We don't think that they're evil, but they're not positive. They don't produce a positive outcome. They produce worry. They produce fear, which produces stress, which sets you down physically. The Lord was teaching me, and I mentioned this, I believe, last week, how if you had a ball of yarn, our body, our ligaments, our muscles, our tendons, is all one. So when you touch one place, it's affected another place in a different area of the body. It's all fitly joined and connected together. We're wonderfully and fearfully made. But the fearful part that being made means that that's the unknown that we trust God for and not let fear be that ruler, but to just give thanks unto the Lord. And the Lord told me something yesterday, and I shared it with my brother, and I thought it was pretty cool. And that helps with hearing him and doing the will of the Lord. He said, when those thoughts come to you, just say, I forgive. I forgive. Because that's part of your being delivered from evil, is to letting go of those things which take you captive, which have you stronghold. I myself personally, I have thoughts of my past and the things that were done to me and the things that happened to me. And I'm like, whew, how did I survive that? But I forgive them. I forgive them. And I let that go and ask you to bless. And it's just because thoughts are going to come to your head, but how do you edit them? What do you do to have an effectual outcome that's positive and that's obeying what God said to do? And most of the time, if you dwell on that, then you really haven't forgiven that person in that situation because of the pain they cause. And every time you think about it, it becomes painful to you. But if you say, I forgive, then you can let the emotions and everything of that thought go immediately. Because you say, well, I forgive. I'll let it go. So use that as a great tidbit. Reading Psalms 111. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. Now see, that means you don't have room in your heart for any negative stuff. You just say, I forgive, bam, push it out, gone. In the assemblies of the upright and in the congregation, second verse. The work of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. Wow. Third verse. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. That's the place of peace you want to be in the work of the Lord, in the fear of him. Wow. For he hath his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. And that's the other thing. When those thoughts come from your past that creep up, they say, man, do you remember this? When you say, I forgive, then you replace it with the goodness of the Lord. I said, well, look where you brought me from. Look where you brought me through. And I'm a victor. Regardless of that, I win. Awesome. Five. He hath given meat unto them that fear him, and he will ever be mindful of his covenant. See, that's the thing about God. He's the only one that doesn't break promises. He's the only one that doesn't lie. He's the only one that is true. He doesn't do that. So remember the promises. And that's the other thing you can replace it when you say, oh, well, I forgive them. God has promised me this, that my ladder is going to be greater. And I'm looking forward to my ladder. Lord, I bless your name. And remember the things that he's told you and just replace those thoughts with that. Six, he has shown his people the power of his work that he may give them the heritage. Ooh, of evil. He said the, how does that scripture go? The evil man, that's not the words. It's the unrighteous that have laid up the rich for the righteous, something like that. But the point is the heathen has struggled and have made riches and laid them up for us, just like in Canaan. They went over to a land that they didn't toil for, they didn't plant, they didn't have any toil in that, but it had rich with milk, honey, grapes, just rich. But the heathen put that together, and then God gave it to them. So that's why you look for miracles and miraculous happening, because they're going to bring it into your bosom, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Those are part of God's promises. If you fear him, if you can hear him, hear ye him. The works of his hand are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. These are the thoughts you want to have in your head, not like, woe is me. When is this happening? I don't know if I can get through this. Hanging in there, this is a bit much. God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Hello, he's rich. Okay. 8. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. That's our God. Man, who wouldn't want to hang out with him? He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. That is the point. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and a good understanding. Have all that they do, do his commandments, his praise, and do it forever. You cannot lose when you bless the Lord, ever. You know, so processing and giving you strategic movements. When thoughts come, cancel them by saying, oh, I forgive you. That has no hold, no bearing, no strong, nothing on me, because I forgive you. You know, when you don't forgive, you're taken captive by that. The person who committed the crime, they're not feeling the thing at all, no consciousness about it whatsoever, and they're certainly not thinking about you. Or you're sitting here, well, she done me wrong, I can never forgive this. Then you go to your grave, being taken captive and being in jail, because they're not thinking about you. But when you say, I forgive you, you do that for you. Plus, it's a commandment of the Lord. Hear you, fear him, and do what he says. My subtitle subject was respect God's word enough to do it. Everybody loves God, but what does your life reflect? Do your actions reflect? Do they represent the fear of the Lord? In that when he says, you shouldn't steal, you shouldn't lie, you shouldn't be deceptive, love your neighbor as yourself. Do you do those things? Or do you just do you? And that's it. Who are you representing with every action? Hear ye him. Because God wants us to believe on him. And this is the beginning of wisdom, and it's crucial that we hear him and do his word. Yeah, and don't logicalize our way out of it. Somehow people will do things and figure it out why it's right. It's not right, but they figured out why it's right because that works for them. You know, it's not right. You don't want to do that. You want to ask God to bless you indeed and to keep you from evil, to deliver you from evil. Because that is the point, that you be delivered. And he says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. I said, if you have something to resist him with, have you put on the whole armor of God? Are you have on the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness? Are your feet shod with the gospel of peace? Have you done these things? There's some ABC stuff you need to do in order when the devil comes to you, you just stand there and resist him and he'll flee. But he sees you standing there naked, and you have no armor, you have no defense, you have no buckle, you have no shield. Oh, but you have your words, which is obviously you don't believe because you haven't done ABC. You know? That's why it behooves you to read the Word of God, know who God is. That's the only way it works. You can't cheat on your taxes. You can't cheat on this. You can't cheat on that and expect the Word to work. As I was reading earlier, it's built on righteousness. It's built on truth. It's built on covenant with God. But if you haven't have kept none of those, what were you thinking? And what were you expecting? It's not like you can fool God. I love that old saying, you can't slick grease. I mean, who are you serving? It says man cannot serve two masters. You either hate one and despise the other, or live in love one. That's in James. I should look it up and quote it correctly directly. But oh my goodness, this is not how this works. God is a good God, but He expects you to keep His word and to know who He is, how He is, and how He works. And the only way you're going to know that is that you get in His word and you search the scriptures for in them you have life. Let's see. I think it's the first chapter of James. A double-minded man. Wish the Lord had let no man say. Okay, let's look at it. Let's see. Count it all joy. All right. Let's see where this is. I want to get this and read it quickly for you. Huh. That's not it. Let's see. And we get perfect givers. The great book has got some good stuff in it, of course. All righty. Let's see. Well, maybe it's not in the first chapter. Not running into it. But that's what it's saying. You can only serve one master. You'll either be a slave to one or not. And that's really interesting. It's not here. I'm pretty sure. That's all right. But I do want to leave that with you. So choose this day whom you will serve. And actually, every thought is a choice on how and what you're going to do. Every thought, like I was teaching earlier, how to edit those thoughts. You have to. I'm still trying to find that. Hate to be defeated. And God holds you accountable. Well, I'll just read this one because this is the fifth verse of the first chapter. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. See, it's talking about wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So this ties in quite nicely. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like... that wavereth is like a wave of the sea and the wind and toss. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So you cannot do two things. It does not work. But know that God loves you and that he intends for you to prosper. He said that time, I would that you prosper, be in good health as your soul prospers. So soul part of having our mind clear, fearing God and hearing God and knowing that his only goal is to bless you. Lord, we bless your name, bless his word. In the name of Jesus, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.